Hey, listeners of the Bio Report, I want to tell you about a new member benefit from the California Technology Council. CTC has teamed with Reprovada to offer members 6 months of Reprovada's COT network service for free, which gives companies the power of a VPN at a fraction of the cost. A remote, flexible workforce is the new normal, but most corporate networks aren't built to accommodate work from home at scale. Reprovada's COT network offers an easily deployable, affordable, and scalable solution to securely enable remote workers and protect the corporate network. To learn more about this and other member benefits, go to californiatechnology.org/member benefits.
I'm Daniel Levine, and this is the Bio Report.
Colorectal cancer is the third most common form of cancer. While screening is an effective means of preventing it, many people fail to get a colonoscopy because of the invasive nature of the procedure and the preparation and sedation that goes with it. CheckCap is a clinical stage company developing C-Scan, the first capsule-based system for preparation-free colorectal screening. The capsule uses ultra-low-dose X-ray and wireless communication technologies to generate information on the contours of the inside of the colon as it passes through it. This creates a 3D map that allows physicians to look for polyps and other abnormalities. We spoke to Alex Avadia, CEO of CheckCap, about colorectal cancer, why people avoid being screened as they should, and how the company's C-Scan capsule-based system works. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
We're going to talk about colorectal cancer, the problems of screening, and CheckCap's C-Scan, a capsule-based system for preparation-free screening. Let's start with colorectal cancer, though. How big a problem does it represent?
So, for the if we look on the American population, you would find approximately 25% of the people that have polyps, and approximately 0.5% of the population, of the average risk population, may have cancer. That's about the statistics about the colorectal cancer.
And what's the prognosis today for people with colorectal cancer, and what role does early detection play in terms of better outcomes?
So it is clear and known by all the physician community that detecting precancerous polyps before they develop into cancer basically saves lives. There are about 50,000 Americans who are dying every year from colorectal cancer. And if you look worldwide, the number can reach up to about 880 plus thousand people who are dying from this horrible disease. So, and not to mention the fact that there are people also with incidence, meaning they have the cancer itself and not necessarily die at the same moment, but continuously, unfortunately, continue to die from that over the years. So by allowing the detection of polyps ahead of time, there is a window of opportunity of about 10 years to catch those polyps before they become malignant, you allow by that to remove the risk potentially for people to become cancerous people. And this is basically what we at CheckUp are doing. Our job is to make sure that we increase the adherence for people and allow them to go for a screening, and by that address an unmet need that exists in this landscape.
Well, how good are people today at complying with checkups when they should get them for colon cancer?
Before I talk about checkup, let me talk about the compliance at least in the US, which represents, I think, a good number compared to what you may find worldwide. In the US, about 40% of the eligible Americans are not going for a decent screening, which means about 46 million people are not getting decent screening. This is the
you say that's good in the US.
This is good. Yeah, if you compare it to the European market, you would find about 70 to 80% of the population that doesn't adhere from various reasons. But since the US market is the most sophisticated and the guidance are very clear, I would expect a much higher adherence of people. And this is not the case because of the current screening methods, which are not that friendly in the eyes of those eligible people. So our job is to make sure that we increase the adherence and bring more people into this screening method. And we believe that through our method, which doesn't require the preparation, that is probably the biggest barrier for people not to go for screening, we believe those people with our method would not require the preparation and thus would hopefully join and perform the screening. And then after, once found with a polyp, could be referred to colonoscopy, which is the gold standard. That's the best solution to remove the polyps, but yet could be referred because they could not be referred since they wouldn't go to such screening beforehand. And this is why we believe we address an unmet need, a huge unmet need in the US. And as I said, not to mention also other areas or other locations worldwide.
Well, for listeners who haven't had the pleasure of colorectal screening, walk us through the process and what are the barriers to people doing this when they should?
The barriers, as I mentioned before, are mostly the fact that for structural tests, you need a preparation. And for non-structural tests, which are mostly biomarker tests, you need to handle, unfortunately, with stool. So those two elements are not that friendly in the eyes of those patients, of those eligible patients.
So when you talk about preparation, though, what does that actually entail?
It requires people to ingest laxatives, stay away from the work or from their normal life for about 1 to 2 days. And that is also accompanied by additional elements, could be sedation for colonoscopy, insufflation, pain, embarrassment. All those are not necessarily friendly, and I would say even more for the younger population. When you look on the younger population, they usually think about themselves as healthy. So why should I go and perform colonoscopy at a younger age, like 45 or maybe even 50, if I feel that I'm healthy? I don't need to. So why? And then they escape from that. The outcome is unfortunately very sad because many of those are becoming cancerous patients. They start with stage one, and then if they don't catch it on time, where, as I said, the window is very large. If you catch on time those polyps, you just remove them and maintain the person healthy. You don't need no more cancer. So our, I would say, a message, our mantra is, why wait for cancer? We don't need that. We just need to bring an answer of, yes, you have a polyp, go to your physician, perform a colonoscopy, and you are done.
Well, what is CheckCap C-Scan capsule?
It's not only a capsule. We developed a system. The C-Scan system consists of three main elements. One is the capsule. The second one is a tracking system. And the third is the workstation. The two first ones are considered the kits that are being provided to the patients. So once you go for the test itself, what you only need is to ingest the capsule with half a glass of water, include in your diet 15 milliliters of contrast material plus tablespoon of fibers for 3 times a day. And you are only being required to attach a small unit to your back that allows for the tracking of the capsule position and orientation. Through that, what you get is scanning along the passage of the capsule inside the colon. And those scans are being collected, or the data is being collected into the tracking system, allowing after to be downloaded into the workstation that I mentioned before, and where the workstation allows then the physician to go back and forth on the data and perform the analysis through which the suspicious findings are being detected. And as I said before, then the patient is being referred to colonoscopy once found with a suspicious finding. That's in a nutshell.
And is this using a radioactive pill to do this, or what is the signal actually reading?
Yeah, the capsule is quite sophisticated. It utilizes a very unique technology that you could not find in any other product. Most of the products that are within this space are using video cameras. In our case, we use an X-ray sonar or radar, if you wish, which utilizes a tiny X-ray source, an ultra-low dose X-ray source that emits radiation inside the colon, controlled by software through the tracking system. And this information is being gathered in a mode or in the shape of a backscattered radiation from the colon and from the content, allowing to measure the distances between the capsule and the colon itself. Once you do that circumferentially, you get a representation, a slice representation of this specific location structure. And once the capsule passes along the colon, you get additional representation that eventually turns into a 3D representation. This allows the physician, yet, as I said before, to go back and forth, scroll through the images, which are also 2D images, and perform the analysis.
And what's the patient experience? How long does the process take, and what do they have to do while it's ongoing?
So the patient doesn't have to do anything except for ingesting the contrast material 3 times a day. The test lasts for about 2 to 3 days on average. And other than that, the test is completely autonomous. So the patient doesn't have to perform any special diet. He or she can continue eating, living their lives, staying with their families, having shower, going to work, just not perform any extreme activities. But other than that, they can continue living their normal life. So it's very, very convenient from that perspective. And what we get from our patients thus far is basically a good feedback, not only from the patients. We believe from what we hear from our physicians or KOLs that we meet with, that this may have a good potential to change the natural history of colorectal cancer screening, because it brings a new and fresh message out there.
How does it compare in terms of the results a physician sees, and who interprets those results?
The interpretation should be done mostly at the last stage to a GI physician. We anticipate to have also a reading center that would allow for some pre-analysis information so that physician could get an outcome that could allow him to do it in a shorter time and more conveniently. And from the perspective of the information that we are bringing, this would allow for a detection of polyps that by now was demonstrated as 76% sensitivity and 82% specificity. This is the outcome that we got thus far from the post-CE approval study. We intend to continue improving the system over time. And I did not mention that, but we are now at the process of getting the system into a pivotal study in the US that would allow, hopefully, the approval by FDA and the commercialization in the US as well.
And does the physician need to learn how to read this, or is it something that would be familiar to a physician that uses a normal colonoscopy?
As for every X-ray modality, and I have a lot of experience in X-ray modalities, I came from the CT domain, there is a certain learning curve for the physician. He should perform a few procedures, run through some procedures, through a training that is being prepared by the company, and then after be qualified to perform this analysis. I believe it is simpler than some of the modalities that are being known as, modalities, X-ray or ultrasound, for example, modalities. I think it is simpler because it provides a more intuitive way to detect the polyps. And this is basically our aim. I also want to mention that going forward, we anticipate that all the information should be and will be analyzed by an artificial intelligence, AI, which becomes more and more common worldwide, to allow the physician to receive a more concrete information and allow him to perform his decision much smoother than what he may do today.
How does it compare in terms of radiation exposure to a patient?
It is compared to the total exposure in our test is compared to one chest X-ray or 10 days on Earth, or if you wish, two transatlantic flights, which are quite common for people. So I do believe that from that perspective, we are much, much below any other X-ray modality that you would compare to. Not to mention that for CT, for example, it is about 1 out of 200 times less.
Hospitals have sunk costs in equipment and can be focused on maximizing their investments. Is this a barrier to adoption?
I don't believe it should be a barrier for adoption because we anticipate that this system would be sold per case and would be reimbursed eventually in the US as well. And so I think that when you compare this system cost to other methods which exist, I think that we are quite comparable to those methods. Of course, depending on the rate of usage, but I think that all in all, it should be comparable to other methods as well. So I don't see a major barrier here compared to other methods. And as I said before, I think that when you compare the cost, you need also to take into account the fact that there are many incidents that should be taken care of, many cancerous incidents, and the payment for each cancerous patient is hundreds of thousands of dollars compared to a procedure that may cost much, much less than that.
What have you done to validate this, and have you had discussions with payers?
We are now at the process of getting ready for the IDE submission in the US. As part of this process, we are working with top-tier consultants in the US that allow us to better understand the reimbursement path, which is complicated, but yet should be completed before we get into the commercialization phase. So this is exactly what we are handling right now. I cannot comment on that, but I can say that we are progressing in that path as well, and we anticipate that between now and commercialization, we will have enough data so that we could move smoothly to this point.
And when are you hoping to be able to bring this to market? What's the path forward?
The path forward is to initiate the study, the pivotal study, by next year. The study would potentially take approximately 1 year. And so by 2022, we anticipate commercialization is going to be ready for the U.S.
Alex Abadia, CEO of CheckCap. Alex, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Daniel. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. The Bio Report is a production of the Levine Media Group. To automatically download this podcast each week, subscribe to our RSS feed or through iTunes or other podcast manager. To join our mailing list, go to levinemediagroup.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to drop us a line or are interested in sponsoring this podcast, send email to danny@levinemediagroup.com. Special thanks to Jonah Levine, who composed our theme music, and the Jonah Levine Collective, which performs it.